name's Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview today on behalf of the One Another Project.
Excellent.
Trust. The date is the 20th of September 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Adelaide McKenzie, and I am 32 years old, and I'm from SWA, residing in London, right here at the One and Other Oral History Project.
And how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. I'm in a good set. I'm in a good mode. Been hanging out with friends. Had some bad news of a friend who died of cancer this week, and just trying to hold on to the good things that we've shared, and just try and just continue to be a good impact in our community, you know, and this world that we live in. That's what's been left with me. Yeah.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
A good friend told me about it, and so I followed it up, and I'm glad I did, because it seemed a bit like, oh my gosh, what is this she's going on about? It's not even a proper gig. But then it's got the whole element of culture, live interaction and good vibes, and that's what I'm about.
So could I get you to talk a little bit about yourself, kind of what you do, what makes you tick?
Yeah, basically I've always wanted to do singing, because I've always had melodies in my heart and I'm writing songs. So such as any other, when you go into a studio, I'll pester my father first to get me a keyboard and invest into the technology so I could encourage and cultivate my own talent. So and also just look after my voice. So I went to the British Performing Arts School and interacted with different types of people to see if this was really my course and destiny in life. And it's been really going well. I've done an album called Daily Process, and been able to sing at great different events, from festivals to opening up for mainstream artists at the Hammersmith Palais, to O2 Brixton Academy, even singing at Hackney Empire and singing at Manchester Apollo. So doing all different types of activities, and hopefully looking forward to a hit song that gets mainstream play on radio and a hit video. And because right now you're in a culture of this generation where everybody can do some kind of element of skill to help you towards where you want to go, but if you want to break into the mainstream, obviously you need to step up another level. So it's about having my ambition and sights on that, as well as still trying to keep the roots as that I have with my heritage of Jamaica, being born in Britain, and also just being a great citizen in this world. Yeah.
Could you briefly describe the style of your music?
It's definitely gospel influenced, soul, R&B, got the jazz vibe. I love the house flavour. I love the beats. I love singing with a live band. I've been often compared to maybe the Jill Scott, maybe the Billie Holiday, and I love Mahalia Jackson, and obviously I like singing ballads as well. So it's got a lot of contemporary as well as up-to-date and old-school flow.
So where do you draw the inspiration for your music from?
Every day, as everyone usually says, what I'm starting to see if I can draw from is sounds. Like, if we be quiet and hear the sounds of the car moving forward, it's got a sound. So I'll try and make my voice go, and even like if I hear a baby or somebody's voice saying something, like if they've said a sentence like, "Ah, that was really funny," I might go, "Ah, that was really funny." Just to try and stay very creative and stay very different, because at the end of the day, there's so much good singers around and so much great artists and great songwriters that something has to be different. I have to continue to discover what's the unique element inside of me that makes me different, so that I can give a different impact and a different contribution to the art form that I'm in. So I draw my information and my revelation from my relationship, from my faith in Christ Jesus. And yet also, 9 to 5, I work with people with drug and alcohol issues. So you've got the pain and you've got the vulnerability, you've got the shame, and it's about looking at that story and looking at that cycle as well, and how we can interpret that. Then you've got the fact that I'm a mother. So my son's always letting me see growth and appreciate growth. And sometimes it's about going back to how I grew and going back to things that I disliked in other people and disliked in myself, and also just reflecting on expectations and seeing how I can do a story from it, but also look at a joyful point from it as well in the emotion of life.
Do you think you're beginning to recognize your kind of individual thing that's going to make you shine?
Yeah, I think the main thing that makes me shine is the love in me, the confidence I have in me. And one of the experiences that I had last year when I was invited to Jazz Cafe was Amy Winehouse herself jumped on stage with me. She's awarded Grammys, she's got so much money, and I think she just saw the vibes in me and the confidence before I even sang, as I was addressing the crowd. So she jumped up, and although there was that, I'm quite confident as well and she's quite confident as well, so although it was like, you're well known and I'm not, but I've been invited, so I want to shine, but you've not been invited, so you might start singing Valerie if the band know your song, but hold on a minute, let me take back my light, because if you start singing your hit songs, people ain't going to be paying attention to me afterwards. So I had to be confident and say, look, all right, come on, let's sing, let's improvise, because I'm so much about improvising. And she did that for a while, and it's on YouTube, and it got so much attention. But then you'll see from the footage that she starts to kind of take over, and I'm like, no, I'm having all these conversations in my mind. No point you shining and I try and shine afterwards. I was like, please, could you just sit down and I'll call you when I'm ready. And I just thought, in reflection, in hindsight now, it's like, oh my gosh, I said that to a Grammy Award artist. You know what I mean? She's recognised, and I've also got experience with people with heroin addictions. She's recognised for a lot of that, but she's darn good quality, darn good. She's got darn good essence. But I think it's just about that love and that confidence. And I think she saw that in me. And from there, I've sold my album to Estelle, who's got number one hits records as well, Alicia Dixon. And I've been able to just go out confidently, and I've met Celine Dion. I've done so much different things and had different experiences, but I want some more exposure so that I can just shine that confident vibe that I believe that I have, which makes me different and very relevant.
So you said that 9 to 5, you work with people with drug
addictions. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that, how you got into that?
When I finished the Brit School of pursuing my career in music, I fell pregnant, so I knew I had to focus on another gift or another thing that I felt good at doing. And I always felt good at doing administration. I worked for the BPI, who organised the Brits Award. I did that for a while, and then fell pregnant and just had to take some time out. So in taking time out and getting agency work, it led into doing administration for drug and alcohol team. But then now I do it, been there for 9 years, and now I do work one-to-one, doing groups, working with people from the Bengali, Somali community, speaking Arabic, doing conferences in the mosque, really treading over to different communities that wouldn't always be interactive in everyday Britain, but they well exist and well here. So it's given me another influence and perspective of culture and the dynamics. And then when you look at the dynamics also of what's happening with young people and the safety issue of gun crime and knife crime, and where I live, Brixton ends, and in South London, there's a lot of different disputes when it comes over the safety of and the issue of drugs and the issue of crime, and when it comes to also life as well, where people are meaninglessly being dying at young, very young ages. And I think the element of working within the drug field and the political aspect of Class A drugs, it just gives me a different kind of, level. And I think it's something that, I'm glad I got into it. It wasn't purposely, but it feels very much of a purpose destiny of my life.
Do you feel that kind of being exposed to people with all these kind of addiction problems kind of inspires you, helps you to write and be creative?
It definitely does, but it also helps me to be more understanding. And I think meeting Amy Winehouse was one of the things that turned it more around, about not being judgmental about people, because you don't know where they're coming from. We really don't. And all of us deserve the best life. We deserve to be happy, and we all deserve to have a good high. But sometimes some people take different elements for that high. And it's great to have that natural high, but if you're not confident in yourself, and if you're growing in a dysfunctional family, and if you look at the uptake of, let's say, broken families, do you know? Let's say people that haven't grown up with but two parents in the house. Let's say people that have got themselves into trouble with the law and are in prison. You know what I mean? Trying to integrate back into the community, integrate back into society, integrate back into social, integrate back with your life on that spec. Trying to be confident with yourself and have a good friendship, healthy friendship. It's emotional. There's a lot of baggage to it. And it does inspire me, because it makes me be more enlightened about the journey that each of us take in every part of this world, even from Africa where there's wars, even to Iraq where there's so much violence and things that are going on around the world. It just makes me really wonder. Famine, all different types of political issue. It broadens, because now I've been exposed to what's happening in the community and stories of how people are getting to certain places where they get into. And none of us are born and say, oh, we want to be in prostitution, we want to be living a lifestyle of drugs, living a lifestyle of gangster. But if that's the choices that people have made, then I've been exposed to why some of them have made certain choices and rely on those addictive and destructive choices, whether it's gambling, whether it's something unhealthy in society.
So you mentioned that you're quite a religious individual.
I didn't say that. I said that I have a faith and a relationship with Christ Jesus. I mean, the perspective I have with that is that it's a relationship. I don't like religion. And it took me a long while to trust the church and trust this whole system, because religion has caused a lot of problem. And if you really check it, my faith looks at it that Christ died because of religious people anyway. Do you know? He was crucified. But that is a big part of my inspiration as well and my values.
So is that kind of Christian vibe?
Definitely. In revelation, in understanding, in passion, in hope, do you know what I mean? In that perseverance, because sometimes I do not feel like waking up in the morning. Sometimes I do wonder, what am I going to wear? I can't be bothered to go out, because it's hard being a girl, you know what I mean? And I suppose it's hard just being an individual when you're some people in such a society as fast moving as we do. So people do look at you and get first impressions, and sometimes people just make up their own story in their mind and don't even hear what you've got to say, and you're trying to cope with who you are. Do you know, so I do have my own insecurities, and I feel more secure, in Christ. And I feel more that I have more things to stand for, you know, so I have more value and confidence in that. I also feel that I can be more strategic in my purpose of where I'm meant to be. So, because sometimes people can offer you so much, life has got so much to offer, but hey, why be distracted of going east when you're really meant to be in west? Do you get what I'm saying? And really, it gives me a lot of hope. It gives me something to expect. There's a lot of distress and despair, but if you can just say, okay, we do suffer from bereavements, sometimes things don't happen the way we want it to go. My faith helps me to be more humble and more acceptant of certain things that happen, and hopeful for the best.
How long did it take you to realise your faith?
It took me, I'm 32 now, but it took me for the year of 2000 to really accept some of the spiritual and those things that they call coincidence. It took me a while to say, look, this has to be a universal, because I have conversations with myself. I don't know about you, but sometimes you have to question certain things in life. And when you see the answer in a form that you've had no conversation with anyone else, you have to really wonder if there is a higher being. And so it took me in 2000 to just accept and then starting to feel the flow of this spirituality in my life.
Do you feel like your faith has helped you said that a close friend died recently.
Yeah, a close friend I heard yesterday. She was fighting cancer, and she was close in the association of we're in the same choir. And she's a nurse, she's just done her studying and finished and got some great qualifications. And it hurts. And it's something that we deal with every day. And the closer and closer it gets to, because you hear about families, you hear about friends, you hear about neighbours, you know, we have grandparents, we have sisters, brothers, uncles, and we have parents, you know, we all are related to someone, and we all have relationships with someone. And when you have good relationships, and then, or you're inspired and just admire someone and adore someone, and they're gone, it hurts. But it's an everyday occurrence of life. And my faith at the moment, yeah, I'm asking God why, but then I believe she went in peace. And I think that's the most thing that we could ever, even if someone's blind, even if someone's deaf, even if someone is, they may call themselves disabled in certain ways and not have the ability to do certain things. Peace is the most important thing to have in life, I believe, anyway. Yeah.
So you said that your parents are originally from Jamaica?
Yeah, Jamaica, Jamrock. Yo, Irie. Yeah.
Can I ask you to talk a little bit about your Jamaican heritage?
Oh, my gosh. Jamaica, it's got great food, great scenery of sea and sand and sun. That is very consistent. And great breeze and great people. You know, I'd like to travel more of the Caribbean islands and more of the whole world globally. But in art form, even the sun speaks, the way it goes down and hearing the crickets, you know, and seeing some of the animals, even they've got a story to tell as well. And even the fruits, you know, and just the culture of the food. Jamaica, I love it. It's fun. If you go there, you're guaranteed to get some jokes. Guaranteed.
So how did you find it growing up? You've always been in London?
I have always been in London, yes. Yeah.
And how would you describe your relationship with the city?
With this city of London, I would say I love the transport system. I like the buses. Big up to all bus drivers. And big up to everybody that just works for the system of travel. Because I like connecting on different lines and taking that journey. I think the journey and sightseeing, things to look at. There's always something to look at. Fashion, even if you're going to the shops or just window shopping, there's always something on display that could inspire you. You know what I mean? Sometimes us girls, I don't know about guys, but sometimes we feel down and we need a new pair of earrings, or we need a new pair of shoes, or just a new t-shirt, or just something new or fresh. And London's always got that vibe, I think, constantly to tap in. It's got a whole mixture of diversity of races, and I think that's just one element I think we need to just get together a bit more and understand a bit more where people are coming from when they're migrating from different countries. With my work particularly, I know that London, 2012, the Olympics, one of the agendas of the government is to get more people from the street, homeless people, into hostels. And I think people that are homeless, people that are coming from prison, people that are suffering mental health issues, I think London could do more with leading as a city to help those that are in vulnerable issues. I know politically, I know we're looking at more of what's happening with young children, which is great, and we need to, with babies in care and so forth and good families and growth. But I think we need to continue to look at the healthy lifestyle of living, of food, the healthy lifestyle of just integrating with different people from different continents and appreciating that. So it's not just university where you meet different types of people, but you can just have a good relationship with people on your own doorstep, I think. Yeah.
So just to go back to your hour.
Yes.
Can you just, what exactly are you going to be singing, and what are your expectations?
Okay, well, I've recently did, because Jamaica, we celebrate our independence, and in August I recently sang at the High Commission of Jamaica. So I'm going to be doing some songs that have that Jamaican feel, which is part of my heritage. My parents are from Jamaica, blah, 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 blah. So I definitely want to represent and do some songs from that. Do some songs from country, a bit of Unchained Melody. Do something different. Do songs that I've written for my album Daily Process, which is out on myspace.com/AdelaideMackenzie. Also represent songs that I've been improvising. I mean, every month I do an event called Blessed Souls UK, where I encourage people to do poetry, rapping, and next month in October 2009, we're going to be 2 years old. So anyone can come and do something on the mic or just chill. And from Blessed Souls, it's another element of what I do in hosting. As you can see, quite fluent, I can talk, can hold my own corner. And also just invite people to be themselves in that space. So from before that, I used to do Fridge Bar. Do you know Fridge Bar in Brixton? I used to do that every week. And we were making up songs every week with the Stone Jam Band. So with the Mac Band now at Blessed Souls, we make up songs. So I'm going to definitely give an element. I'm going to probably do something like, it's the 20th of September 2009. I'm on this square and all things are feeling fine. The sun's not here yet, but we're in the atmosphere to shine, yeah, yeah, to shine, yeah, you. Do you know, do something different. Just make up a song on the spot. Do you know, just have some good vibes. Yeah. We are amazing people, so just flex that, yeah.
So have you brought anybody with you today?
I have got a few friends and some said they were on their way. I'm on a bit late today, going into the wheezy hours, so some of my friends couldn't travel. If it was earlier, they would have. So yeah, hopefully I'll get to come back. I don't know, just see how it goes. But I'm sure I'll be very entertaining and much of a blessing to those that are walking by and in the square at the moment.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I know I'm going to have a great time and I'm very thankful for this opportunity, and well done to all the staff that are working on the project and that continue to just do great things. Hopefully we can do something like this globally and, yeah, European-wise. Thank you.